Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
This morning, and as our ushers continue to just kind of work through, we are grateful that you are here today and just excited for just our time together. If you are a guest with us this morning, my name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, and again, we're so glad to have you worshiping with us. If you have a need, if you've never connected with us, you'll see some connect cards in the back of the seats along the way, and you can take one of those and fill that out and just drop it off with our host team as you leave. And we'd love to know how we can be praying for you, how we could be an encouragement along the journey. You're here at a great time. We're in the midst of just a short sermon series as we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate that every week, every day, and we are reminded that because the tomb is empty, anything is possible, and we've been raised with Christ. We've been raised to walk in newness of life. We would read in Romans 6, and as we walk in that, last week we looked at this call to walk by faith, and this week we're going to look at this call to be raised to walk in hope. Last week, we were reminded that the certificate of debt that was against us has been canceled for all those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It has been paid in full. Jesus has triumphed over every power, over every authority. The scripture would tell us that he has disarmed the enemy and that we can walk in victory that has already been won. And because we are complete in Christ, he has made us whole in him, we can now begin to walk in hope. Someone has said this about hope: we can live 40 days without food. I'm not recommending you guys don't try that. We'll be good to make it the next 40 minutes without food, right? But we can make it 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but just a few seconds without hope. And so I wonder this morning, as we think about that, maybe you've come this morning and you are weary in the midst of life. Maybe you have become discouraged. I pray that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and would encourage us in Christ today. You might say, what is hope? What is hope? We hope for a lot of things. Like, we hope that it won't rain so that we can enjoy the afternoon. We hope that things will come out in a certain ball game, a certain way. We have those kind of hopes, but I want to give you a definition of biblical hope. And biblical hope is different than those things I described. Biblical hope is confident expectation, trusting that what God has promised will come to pass because his character never changes, his promises never fail, and his power never runs out. You know, we think about this hope. We're going to be in Romans chapter 15 today. If you want to take your Bibles, take your devices, and go to Romans chapter 15, we're going to be looking really at one verse today. We're going to be looking at verse 13. But as we think about this hope that we have, we understand that this hope wasn't only for us, right? From the very beginning, God has had a plan that's always been bigger than a person or a particular group of people. We read in his word that through Abraham, that God promised to bless all nations. And we see in Jesus Christ, in him crucified and risen, that promise has been fulfilled. And so in Romans chapter 15, we're going to see this verse that just gives us this reality and this promise of hope. And right before that verse, in verses 9 through 12, we see just this truth being really shown in a kind of a way of progression. In verse 9, we begin to see how God would glorify himself. He would use the Jews to glorify himself among the Gentiles. We would see how Jews and Gentiles would then, as we go through that passage, we'll see how Jews and Gentiles then would glorify God together, that they would rejoice together, that they would in unity, they would praise God, and that Christ reigns over all things, and all people in Christ have hope that is beyond any circumstance, that is beyond anything that comes our way. And as Paul reflects on God's great redemptive plan, as he reflects on all that God has done in Christ, he offers this prayer, right? It's a benediction, it's a prayer and a promise all at the same time. And so he offers this prayer, and it's my prayer for us today, and it is, I believe, an incredible prayer and promise from the Word of God. So I want to invite you to take your copy of God's Word, Romans 15, verse 13. And if you will, stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word. We'll read that one verse, and then you'll see Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 on the screen. I would encourage you to say that along together with me. In Romans 15, verse 13, we read this: "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And then all together, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God." Will you pray with me? Holy God, we're grateful, so grateful for your word. God, we thank you for the hope that we have in you. We come this morning, Lord, with worship on our lips. God, we come praising you for who you are and for what you have done for us in Christ. And we come, Lord, just declaring our need for you. God, we so desperately, God, need to be reminded of all, God, that you've accomplished for us in Christ. Lord, we recognize our hope does not come from within ourselves, and it certainly doesn't come from the world around us, but our hope, God, is in you. Your promises never fail, Lord. Your power never runs out, God. And we come today, God, knowing that there's all kind of different circumstances, all kind of different situations, God, all kind of different things that are just being navigated in the hearts and just realities of your people. But God, we know that, God, you know all those things, and all our hope is in you. God, there are better days in Christ to come, and we just pray, Father, that you might work in our midst, Lord, to bring hope through your word. God, that you might encourage us. God, you are the God of all encouragement. You are the God of all grace. God, you are the God of hope, Lord, and we desperately need you this morning. We pray, God, you'd do a work in us, God, that would cause us to leave different than we came, expectant, God, of everything that you've promised. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we ask for your blessing on these people, God, and on our time together, on your word as it's proclaimed, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, the reality in our world is this, right? We see a lot of people in a lot of different places, and they're searching for hope. They're searching for satisfaction. They're trying to find hope in all kinds of places. It's interesting, statistically, over the last 5 years, you can look at this online, but one of the most searched terms on Google is hope. I found that really interesting. One of the most popular searches on Google has been hope. It outpaced searches for things like politics, things like technology, things like how to get rich in a hurry online. It outpaced all those things, although some of those things may have high numbers of searches. Here's what I know. As we look around this world, people are searching for hope. We're seeing it in all kinds of places. We're seeing it in just the reality that's around us. And people don't know where to look. People don't know where they'll find hope, but their hearts are crying out, and they understand that there's more, right? You see people who seem to have it all, celebrities that have attained everything and have achieved all the success that this world could seem to offer, and you find that they're still searching for something. They understand that there's something else, and there's a generation, right, that is searching for hope. That's how we're going to gather for Fields of Faith this week. I encourage you to come out to the pool and come out and be part of that night, be part of praying for that night. One of the most encouraging things last year that many of us saw at Fields of Faith, and I know they didn't do this for any kind of attention, but Graham and Linda Shaw, I see y'all kind of over on the side right there, but I wish I had the picture of them that we took last year, but during this whole service and during this time of worship and response, you could find them holding hands and their heads bowed and praying that God might move, that people in that midst, that they might find hope. And we saw 30-something people respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be born again into the family of God. And we want to encourage you to come out to pray, to be part of that night as we gather in worship. If you know people that are searching for hope, if you know people that maybe you've invited them to church and they just haven't been quite willing to come into the building. Invite them to come to this event at the Rec Park. And I just believe God's going to do an incredible work there, because there are people that are searching for hope. And here's what we know. We can't manufacture it, and we don't have to manufacture it. And apart from Christ, there's no way to have it. See, hope flows from who God is, from what God has done for us, and only those who are in Christ can experience hope. Hope is this. It's believing, right, that because Jesus walked out of that tomb, because Jesus is alive, that every promise of God is just as good as none, that we can rest everything in him. Here's the big idea, right? Because of the resurrection, we are raised to walk in hope as we trust, embrace, and depend on God. What he has done, what he is doing, and what his Spirit continues to do in us. And I believe in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, we're going to find really, it's just his instructions on how we can experience that hope. How, if you've come in discouraged, that in the power of the Spirit of God through the Word of God, that you might be encouraged today. And the first thing I want to just really lean into, point number one, that you would trust God's provision. That you would trust his provision. Believe that hope flows from who he is and what he has promised. In verse 13, he said, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." He said, may the God of hope, where does our hope come from? It comes from him. He is not only the one who gives us hope. He's not only the place that we look to and we find hope. He is the source of all hope. He is the only one that can give us hope. And the scripture says, may the God of hope fill you. Now, that's an interesting word, this word fill that we would see there. We think about filling something. And I was thinking this week, I wanted some of my favorite salsa. We were cooking like some chicken salads, and I wanted some of my favorite salsa. And so I went to the Mexican restaurant here in town where my favorite salsa lies. And I went in there and I said, well, I actually called them first. I was like, you guys sell some of that salsa? They're like, yeah, you come in, you get as much as you want. So I go in and I'm looking, and they've got different containers. They've got like a medium that's $2.95. They got a large that's like $4.95, whatever. And they got like the big one and all that. And I'm looking, I'm trying to figure out just how much of my favorite salsa I need. And so I pick the medium size and I get it and I go over and they let me serve my own salsa, right? And so when I get over there, I got my little bucket there, and I want you to understand I max that thing out. Like, I am filling this thing. And so what we see in this picture is that it is filled to capacity, that it is filled. And what God desires for us is that we might be filled with hope that would be abounding. Now, what I didn't understand is the way that little container thingy was made, that the lid actually presses down in there. And so when you put the lid on it and you seal this thing up, there's like salsa oozing out, right? I'm like trying to catch, like, I just needed some chips right there. I could just catch it, right? Because it was overflowing. And when you read this word, when you read this text, it is this implication that it is full. And I want you to know there wasn't no room for a lid in there. There wasn't room for me to put a lid. There wasn't room for anything else. And what the scripture wants us to understand is that when we are filled with joy and peace in believing, that word in believing, it is this picture of present tense. It is this picture that we continue. So if you've come in here weary this morning, the scripture's telling us, listen, we continue to believe. We continue to believe that in Christ, that we have all that we need. When we read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? I have everything that I need. And as I continue to believe that, as I continue to rest and trust that in him, there is hope beyond all moments. I continue in believing, right? That's what that scripture says, in believing. As we rest our faith and trust in him, the Spirit of God fills us with joy and peace in believing, right? And that joy and peace fills us to capacity. And when we have that, there's no room for anything else. There's no room for anxiety. There's no room for all those other things, right, that are in our life. And we are filled to capacity. This is where we're at. Now, when we think about this, when we think about this passage, we understand that sometimes we can get our eyes on other things. Sometimes we can take our eyes off of Christ. Even as believers, we can forget all that God has done for us in Christ, and we can begin to have our attention other places. The reality is that we can experience moments where, we just feel weary. We just feel those kind of things. We would read in Lamentations 3, Jeremiah would watch, and maybe we look around at the condition of our family. Maybe there's some of you that are experiencing very difficult moments in your family. Maybe you look around, and in all reality, somehow you feel like, man, is there really hope? I feel hopeless in these situations. Jeremiah, in Lamentations 3, he had watched his city lay in ruins. He could see this kind of moment. His heart was heavy. His heart was filled with grief. Hope seemed gone, right? In verse 18 of Lamentations 3, he says, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Maybe some of you feel that way this morning, but then Jeremiah preached some truth to himself. And we're familiar with some of these next verses, right? He preached some truth to himself. In verse 21, he says this, I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Listen, we are so needed that reminder sometimes in our life that the Lord's mercies are new every morning, that his faithfulness is great, that he is faithful. In verse 24, he says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Listen, we need to preach to ourselves sometimes when we feel weary, and we need to be reminded, right, that our hope is in him. But here's the truth, right? We try to find other things. Sometimes we run to other things. There's a world that's promising satisfaction in other things. Jeremiah recognized this problem well as he talked about his people in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. He says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, right? God says, listen, my people, they've committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns. And then he says, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God says, this is what's going on in my people. They're trying to find satisfaction. They're looking outside of me. They've forsaken me, and they're trying to find satisfaction in things that will not hold water, things that won't hold up. Have you ever placed like some trust in something that just wouldn't hold up? Like, we've done that. I was in Honduras a few years back, and I learned this lesson there. I went there, and we were gathering for worship that day, and I sat down in one of the chairs that were in there, and the next thing I know, like, the legs are going like all kinds of different directions, right? And I'm thankful nobody got a picture of it that year. And so, but I'm like sprawled out on the floor. People are laughing. I remembered that though, and I was back again. And so that morning, when I go back and the next year, and I'm looking around, and listen, people are greeting. They're looking for all kinds of things. I'm looking for a chair. That's what I'm looking for. Like, I'm looking around. I'm kind of testing the chairs. When I sat down in that chair, I'm sitting down like really easy, right? I'm sitting down. I want to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Now, I didn't share that with the rest of the team. Didn't think about that in those moments. And here's a picture from that trip. Now, Sammy, you'll see him there in the floor. And Sammy sat down in that chair, and he had the same thing, right, that I experienced happen to him. Now, some of you enjoy moments like that. There's a lady that's right behind him. You'll see her in the next picture. She's enjoying that, right? Like, there's some of you that, like, when people fall, people get hurt. My wife's one of you. She's in kids, so I can tell you about it. She's in kids, and when I fall and I injure myself or I do anything, she immediately looks like this lady in the back, right? No matter how hurt I am. They say there's a condition that causes that. They say there's like an authentic condition that people have that causes them to laugh nervously. I think it's a condition. I don't know. I'm not even going to say anything. We're just going to keep going. But this lady had that condition, right? And then somebody else came and helped Sammy. They brought another chair, right, and they put it in there, and it helped him stand up, right? That was the moment that was there. Now, I probably should have told the rest of the team, so you're welcome if you're going to Honduras now. You know, right? But here's what we see, right? There are things in this world, and they will not hold up. They do not have the ability, and people are turning to things apart from Christ to do that. Success, relationships, money, all of these things, counterfeit comforts, right? They're not experiencing hope, and so instead of experiencing the hope that is available in Christ because of a lack of hope, they're turning to comforts like drugs, turning to comforts like alcohol, turning to relationships, turning to all these things, and they only offer temporary relief. They offer false hope. They offer things that will never satisfy. And Just like I probably needed to warn Sammy that what he was resting everything in wasn't going to hold up, it wasn't near as big a deal as what people are navigating. But those of us who have found hope in Christ and understand the realities of the gospel, we need to tell them. We need to tell them that everything that they are searching for, everything that they are weary in, right, that hope is found only in Christ. Because what we know, the God of hope, that his gifts, that his Spirit, that his presence, that the satisfaction that we have from him, that it never runs dry, right? We would see Jesus encounter the woman at the well, and he said, listen, you're coming and you're drinking of this water and you're thirsty and you're continuing to be thirsty. But he said, he who drinks from the water that I give, he will never thirst again. We trust his provision. We believe that hope flows from who he is and what he has promise. Not only do we need to tell them, we need to live our lives in a way that they want to understand what's different in us. 1 Peter 3:15, the scripture says, sanctify the Lord in your hearts, right? Sanctify Christ in your hearts. This beautiful picture, he says, always being ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the reason for the hope that is within you. We should live our lives in a way that people see us like this hope that we have in Christ. It's not just simply to be contained. It's to be like the salsa that was in my little container when the lid came on, right? It was squeezing out for others to see. And so point number two, we want to embrace his purpose. We want to trust his provision, but we want to embrace his purpose. He says, there's a reason. He said, God, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And so we want to believe that hope can flow from his life in you. Verse 13, he says, so that, anytime we see that, right, it's giving us this instant place that we can look. He says, God's going to fill you. May the God of hope fill you, this prayer, with all joy and peace in believing. So as we believe, as we rest our lives, as we trust in him, you're filled with joy and peace. So that what? You will abound. Interesting wording here, this word abound. Is literally this word that says more than enough, right? And this word abound gives this picture of overflowing. It was what was happening with my salsa. It was pouring out. And if somebody just had some chips, right? If I could have got some people together, I would have had some extra stuff coming out that they could have enjoyed in those moments, right? But when we experience that, the God of hope is working. And he's giving us not just enough hope that we can rest in that for ourselves, but that it might impact others that are around us. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, speaking of Abraham, the scripture says, in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Abraham believed God's promises when it looked like circumstances were impossible. When the circumstances said, there's no way, Abraham believe God. The scripture says that he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is how biblical hope works, right? It's not based on how things look in a particular moment. There are times that things look hopeless, right? But we rest and we say, God, we trust you in the midst of those moments. It's not based on how things look. It's based on who God is and what he has promised. In 1981, there was a guy named Eugene Lang. Interesting story. He was a wealthy man that was asked to speak at a high school that he had graduated from. He had become very wealthy, went back to his community to speak there. When he got there, he saw people who many of them were without hope, a community that was just weary. And he understood as he learned, he had prepared a speech just like most graduation speeches, to work hard and that you could do good things and all those kind of things. But he got there and he heard about the condition of the students there. This was a sixth grade graduation. And so in that sixth grade graduation, he heard that only a small portion of students, less than 40% of students that are going through that school, that less than 40% of them would graduate. And moved with compassion in those moments, moved in those places, he changed kind of on the fly his commencement speech, and he made a promise to these students. And he said, if you will graduate, I will pay your tuition to college. He said, if you'll graduate. And this man was a philanthropist. He was very wealthy. He had the means to do those things. And let me tell you something, when they heard that, and with his continued presence, continued encouragement, some things changed in that school because of his promise. Over 90% of that sixth grade class graduated. Over 90% of those students graduated, and more than half of them, less than 40% of them were graduating high school, and more than half of them went on to college. Listen, they had a promise from somebody that had the means of keeping it. And I want to tell you, in Christ, we have greater promises than we could ever imagine. Peter wrote it this way. He was praising God. He just burst out in praise, and he said, blessed be the God. 1 Peter 1:3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he's caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And listen, we've got promises that are way beyond the moments of this life. He says that we've been born again into this living hope, and we've been born again to an inheritance, right, that is undefiled, that will not fade away. Listen, everything that we have, our bodies are fading away. The bananas on your counter are fading away. The most important things that you might be pouring your life into in the presence of this world, it will fade away. But I want you to understand that there's an inheritance that is kept in heaven, that is secure in Christ, that is being kept by him. Listen, for those who have placed their faith and trust in him, and we've been born again into a living hope. And just like this guy, he was able to keep his promises. He had the riches and the wealth to do those things. Listen, our great God, he is able to do abundantly above what we even ask or think, that we in Christ have everything that we need. And this hope that we have in Christ, it abounds. He said that you might be filled with joy and with peace, and that it might abound, so that, right, we would have this abounding hope that would be poured out, and that God might look at a people, and he might look at a people that are walking through tough times, and he might look at a people that are facing all kind of things. Listen, the sun rises on the just and the unjust. We experience the brokenness of this world. We experience all those things, but there's a people who have hope in Jesus Christ, and they have hope that's beyond those moments. And regardless of the circumstances, there's a peace and there's a joy, and that joy is overflowing, and people are looking and saying, how is it that you have that joy? How is it that you're walking in that? And he says, listen, sanctify Christ the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason that the hope is within you. He says, listen, this is how we are. We believe that God's hope can flow through us. We embrace his purpose, not just for our blessing, but that we might be a blessing to others. And how will we do it? Point number three, we depend on his power. We depend on his power. We believe that hope overflows through his spirit in you. I'm going to read this verse again. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound, overflow, have more than enough. You will abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us not just to survive, but to overflow with hope. The Spirit of God reminds us of the promises of God. When we're in the midst of those trials, there's something in us that reminds us of his faithfulness. He strengthens us as we are reminded of God's faithfulness. There's a joy. There's a peace. There's a trust in him that works, listen, in our lives in a way that causes us to abound in hope. Jesus would tell his disciples in John 16:7, it would be crazy to them to hear this after walking with Jesus, after understanding that Jesus was going to go to the cross, that he was going to leave them. And he would say, but I tell you, he said, it is to your advantage. He said, let me tell you the truth, right? He said, it is to your advantage. It is better that I go away. He said, because, listen, he said, this is the reality. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus said, listen, it's better for us to have the Spirit inside of us than for those disciples that had experienced his presence beside them. Listen, Jesus is with us. When we walk, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we're given the Spirit of God, that we receive the Spirit of God, the helper that would comfort us, that would guide us, that would fill us with his power, fill us with his presence, right? I'm so glad that this morning we're not arguing over what church Jesus can be at, right? That through the Spirit of God, that he is here, that he is with us in his power. Apart from his power, apart from abiding in Christ, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we do not experience this hope. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, we're reminded that hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Our hope is not grounded in feelings. It's not grounded in the circumstances of this world. Our hope is rested in God's unchanging love. Our hope rests in the unending power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, and we are to depend on His power. We trust His provision, right? But we depend on His power. We believe that hope overflows in us, right, through the Spirit of God in our lives. How does this work? How do we see this practically? If you go back to verse 4 and 5 in this same chapter, you see that whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God, verse 5, who gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another in Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, and He works to use it to conform the people of God, to look like the image of God. And we gather in places where we're encouraged by one another and where we experience this unity in Christ. We see the Word of God, the people of God, all working together as the Spirit of God causes us to experience joy and peace. The Scripture would tell us that we can experience peace. In Philippians 4, we'd see that we can experience peace that is beyond all comprehension, peace that expresses itself in the midst of those hard times, peace that we see people walking through difficult times, but there's joy. Listen, and it's not connected to circumstances. Happiness comes from happenings, the things that are going on in our lives, but there's a joy that comes from Jesus. There's a joy that overflows in the people of God. And listen, because of the resurrection, we are raised to walk in hope as we trust and embrace and depend on God. As we rest in what He's done, we believe and see what He's doing and what His Spirit continues to do in us. We have a hope that is beyond anything we could imagine. Many of you that are here know this story, but in the midst of one of the most difficult moments of my wife and I's life, as my mother-in-law, Miss Ann, was battling cancer. She'd had a long battle with cancer, one of the most faith-filled and courageous people that I've ever been around, a person that in the midst of those hard times, she would praise God. She would say, boy, heaven's going to be great. Man, every bit of her hope was in Jesus. God had blessed her in so many incredible ways. And as we would walk together, my faith and my life was just encouraged so much by her life. And we had gotten to a place where she was pretty weary. And in that same season, Sherry and I, she had gone to the doctor, and we'd had a car accident, a really bad car accident when we were younger. And the doctor had told her, they said, because of some things in the wreck and some other things that are going on in your life right now, she said, it's near impossible for you to have kids. And at that point in our life, we hadn't really ever even kind of wanted them. I mean, just being honest, like I can't imagine life without them. But at that point, that really hadn't stirred in our hearts. But that day, we kind of talked about those things. And as we go through that season, we find out that Sherry is expecting child, that we're expecting a little child. And we talked about that. And as we were walking with Miss Ann throughout those times, we had decided that we were going to name this little girl Grace Ann. That was going to be her name. And as we walked through that season, I was reminded of all the hope that we have in Christ. My mother-in-law went to be with Jesus, and I was reminded, as Paul would write to the church at Thessalonica, he would say, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, not to be uninformed. He said, so that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. He said, because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, those who sleep in Jesus, He will bring with Him, and those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those who are asleep, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. He said, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and there we shall forever be with the Lord. And as I watched her walk through the most difficult times with joy and with peace and with a trust in the faithfulness of our great God, we were reminded His mercies are new every morning. And we decided, listen, this little girl has been a reminder to us that we have hope in the midst of even the most difficult times. And so we named this precious little girl Hope Ann. And I want to tell you, She was a reminder to us that even in the hardest moments, God gives his people something to hold on to, something to look ahead to. God gives us hope, not wishful thinking, but confident expectation that God's promises will hold. And what's true for all of us who are in Christ Jesus is that there are good things to come. Eternity in Christ, our future is sure. We have hope and we rest on that hope and we live in an overflow of peace and joy because of the finished work of the cross. Because he is alive, we will live forever. He who believes in him will never die. Listen, the wells, the things that people are trying to find satisfaction in, they always come up short. Listen, they always run dry. But Jesus says, all who would come and drink from the water that I give, he will never thirst again. Jesus said, come, all you who are weary. Listen, we need to be a people who are pointing people constantly to him. They're chasing for satisfaction in things that will never satisfy. And we point them to Jesus who said, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden and in me, you will find rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus has come not to improve us, not to meet these kind of self-help things that we think around so that we can somehow find strength in ourselves. Listen, he came to make people who are separated from him, dead in their trespasses and sin, to make them alive in Christ, to cause them to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. He canceled the debt that we owed. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. And he offers us hope to bring us from darkness into his marvelous and glorious light. And if you're here and you've been trying to find satisfaction in the things of this world, listen, it will always come up short. You will never find satisfaction, but Jesus offers you hope. He offers you living water. He offers you a fountain that will never run dry. And you respond, listen to the good news of the gospel, that Jesus entered the midst of this broken world, that he died a sinner's death in your place. He took the punishment that you deserve, was placed in a barred tomb, and on the third day he rose again. And if we'll believe that Jesus, what Jesus did on that cross, that it was for me, that it was a death that was in my place, and we'll turn from our sin and just rest everything in him, that we just say, God, all my hope's in you. Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, I know that you paid the debt that I owed, and I believe and I trust in you. I turn from my sin and I trust you with my life. The Bible says that he would cause us to be born again, that we would experience new life in Christ. It would be given his spirit, that we would experience hope and that we'd experience joy and that we would experience life abundant. I'm going to pray. God, we're thankful.